let me turn the call over to our first speaker, David Burns, a professor in the History of Science and Sociology Department at the University of Pennsylvania. Go ahead, David.
All right. Thank you, Larry. I have a few thoughts about the current pandemic that emerge indirectly out of my historical research. I wanted to start by quoting a fellow historian of public health, Christopher Hamlin from Notre Dame. This is from his book, Public Health and Social Justice in the Age of Chadwick. He wrote, "Where there is knowledge of disease prevention and of the factors that sustain life and health, the map of the availability of those factors is the map of the rights that exist in that society." I think that's one of the most profound things ever written in the history of public health, and I think it's directly apropos today. So in all of the public health messaging surrounding this pandemic, I keep hearing germs don't discriminate. And I'm sorry, it's just not true. Germs do discriminate. They always have discriminated, and unless we change something pretty fundamental about the way we approach public health, they will continue to discriminate. Epidemics, I should say at this point that I'm anticipating that Chris may take issue with some of my points, and I welcome the conversation, and look forward to his remarks. Epidemics are always deeply social phenomena. They're social in their origins, they're social in the course that they take, and they're social in their effects, their immediate effects and their longer term effects. I think it's helpful to think of epidemics as something like social x-rays, which reveal pre-existing fractures or weaknesses in a society. You could also think of them as sort of like heat maps, which call our attention to certain places, both geographic locations, but also socioeconomic circumstances that need attention and need resources. Epidemics are usually also inequality accelerators. They certainly reveal inequality, but they also intensify it in many cases. I think it's misleading to call this a coronavirus pandemic. I see it as a pandemic of weakened immunity. When I talk about immunity, I'm not talking about some kind of genetic predisposition, and I'm not talking about the kind of disease-specific immunity that comes from a vaccine. I'm talking about the kind of non-disease-specific constitutional immunity that comes from essentially living in a healthy environment with access to basic resources. We've heard a lot about the kind of people who are vulnerable to COVID-19. They have pre-existing or underlying conditions, including asthma and other respiratory illnesses, high blood pressure, and diabetes, among others. We talk about these so-called pre-existing or underlying conditions as if they're exogenous variables, essentially just part of the natural environment in which the virus occurred. But they're not natural, and they're not exogenous. These are human-made conditions that are the product of specific public policy choices, and they can be mitigated or even eliminated by us through making different public policy choices. Why are these so-called underlying conditions so much more common in the U.S. Than in other wealthy nations, and also, by the way, more common in some of the less developed nations that have also been ravaged by this pandemic? There are many reasons why, but they include, above all, income inequality, but also environmental racism, unequal access to adequate housing, unequal access to healthy food, a food policy that's essentially been designed by and for agribusiness and food conglomerates. Also, a factor that's not, I think, sufficiently appreciated, a kind of chronic toxic stress that builds up in the body over a lifetime and is the product of, among other things, economic insecurity, fear of chronic violence, including domestic violence, and the lack of any kind of meaningful self-determination with respect to education, with respect to careers, with respect to being able to have a say in one's own living conditions. And the final factor, the final reason I would point out is the absence of a social safety net that is the bedrock of all successful welfare states. It seems to me that our most urgent task is to address these pre-existing social conditions. And yeah, lots more to say, but I'll stop there for now and look forward to hearing what everyone else has to say.
Great, David, thank you.